Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. And we have a very interesting message this morning. It's called Beware of Your Day. And it should strike home to every one of us. And let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that you are with us today. And realizing, Lord, we're still reading from your sermon, Satan's Eden. We want to have the people just prepared, Lord, for the day which they live. And so I pray that you would be with us and guide us, guide our words, guide our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This is number 186 in Satan's Eden. And if we'd open our Bibles, or if you have, you can see the screen. 1 Peter 2 and 12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Now that's kind of a strange scripture, because they're calling you evildoers, and yet they look at your good works and they glorify God for what you've done. And it's because they don't like the words that you say. Otherwise, they're not calling you evildoers for the things you do. They're calling it for the things that you stand for. Now, we know that the day of our visitation means in the day when God is present. So that is now, okay? He has descended with a shout, and we're living during the time of God's parousia, which is his presence. And Brother Bram called it the appearing before the coming. From God has provided a way, he said, which one of the prophets did your fathers not stone because they didn't know their day? Now notice, they stoned him. Why? They didn't know their day. If you'd have known me, you'd have known my day, okay? He's quoting scripture there. They didn't know John till he was dead and buried. They didn't know Jesus until he was dead and buried. They didn't know St. Patrick or Joan of Arc. The Catholic Church burnt her as a witch to the post because the woman had power in prayer and saw visions. And they said she was a fortune teller, a witch, and they burnt that woman screaming for mercy. Oh, of course, you've done your penance 200 years later, dug up them priest bodies and throw them in the river. But it passed by you and you didn't know it. Even the disciples said, why do the scribes say that Elias must first come? Said, Elias has already come and you didn't know it. How many of the world's close to 8 billion people are aware that God is here? That are aware of the shout, that it is the message. How many are aware? How many are aware that we're in the rapture now because God is changing us from mortal to immortal? Like Brother Brown said, when the Holy Ghost comes in, he comes in about the size of that little button on your shirt. And then when word is added to word upon word, it takes a hold of every fiber of your body. How many people are aware of that? Ask yourself. It goes over your head and you don't know it. You don't miss this. The Holy Spirit, Christ, is here. Now remember these two words before I leave you. That the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ is two different words. Christ is now appearing in the fullness of his power. His coming will be afterwards. His appearing before his coming. God be merciful. I mean, there's many Trinitarians that don't even believe in a rapture. They're missing what God is doing now, and they think that they're going to have to give their lives and be purged or something. Well, they will. And they will become their revelation. You know, Abel, did you know he became his revelation? His revelation was a bleeding, dying lamb, and guess what? He became that bleeding, dying lamb. So you will become your revelation. Now, I could leave you here to ponder over what I just said, but most people on the earth today, of the nearly 8 billion people, are clueless that God has visited this generation, and they don't even know it. They have their eyes on earthly things, like who is going to win the next election. God will win. That's all I'm going to say. God's going to win. That's all I have to tell you on that subject. God will win. Doesn't he always? So turn your eyes on what he has done during his appearing, which is his parousia, and you will see what is happening. From we would see Jesus, Brother Brown said, civilization has traveled with the sun. The sun rose in the east. The same sun, S-U-N, that rises in the east is the same sun that sets in the west. It hasn't changed, has it? It's still here, isn't it? And the physical S-U-N has been here and will be here tomorrow. It came into being by the word of the Lord. Man changes, political parties change, but the same S-U-N has not changed, and God and his word doesn't change either. We've had a dismal day, as the Bible said, neither call day or night. Enough to join church and do good and so forth, but it shall be light about the evening time. And the same S-O-N, Son of God, that rose yonder in the east on the eastern people and showed his blessing and power, it's been a dismal day, but now on the west coast, if we go any further, we go back to China again, to the east, and back to the eastern country. Now we're at the west coast, and the S-O-N is appearing before his coming. Now you say, well, how could that be the same S-O-N? Well, you see, Jesus said, I do nothing lest the Father show me first. Is that what he said? Then God was acting out the role of S-O-N, so his S-O-N could act out that same role. In other words, Jesus was not God the Son. He was the Son of God. And so God had to show him his role as Son. So God, sure, God is a spirit in you. God is your Father, and God acted out the role of Son. It's the same God, as Brother Branham said, in three dispensations, but it's the same God, needless to say. But remember, the Spirit of God comes down before the coming of the physical Son. So he says there's appearing before his coming. Remember, appearing, coming is two different words. He's appearing now in the church, showing himself alive after 2,000 years, sirs. We would see Jesus. Again, Brother Bram said from his sermon, letting off the pressure. Now you say, Brother Bram, I don't smoke, drink, shoot, commit adultery. That ain't it. That's not sin. That's attributes of sin. That's the attribute of unbelief. See, if you believe, you wouldn't do those things. See, no, it ain't what sin is. People can't. Unbelief is sin. He that believeth not is condemned already. Okay? See, that's just attributes of unbelief. If you can beat all that away from you and say, Lord God, I believe just exactly what your word says and believe, as we preached last night, that the appearing of the Lord comes before the coming of the Lord. For it's just two different words altogether. See, now is the appearing, as he promised in the last days that he'd be with us. And what a refuge and what a consolation it is, Christians. Well, that we can stand here tonight in the presence of God, in the face of the word, and the impossibilities that he's promised in here, we can see manifested right before us. We can see manifested right before us. We can see the shout right before us. The prophet came, God came down with a shout message. We preach that same message. We see the same signs and events of that same message. And then we say, Lord, we're praying for the rapture. We're in it. Don't you understand you have already been chosen to see, like the 500 witnesses were chosen to see the resurrection in their day? You're chosen to see, and when it comes time that the dead rise before you, you will see them. You won't have to get a call from your pastor or me driving by and honking the horn and saying the rapture's ready. You're already going to be ready because you see a parousia, the events of the parousia. You are a strange people, pilgrims and strangers, because you're seeing things that the world can't see. As I said last week, if the world could see them, they wouldn't crucify. They wouldn't have a campaign out to destroy Christianity. But you are seeing what they don't see. And you will see the glory of God. And you will see the resurrection and the catching away. And you will see the wedding supper. And you will see the New Jerusalem. That's just a wonderful thing to think about. Because we will see. See, now is the appearing. Well, if the appearing, isn't that strange? Now is the appearing. And yet, how many people know about it? Think about that. How many people, of 8 billion people in the world, how many people know, even in the message, how many people know that now is the appearing? And as he promised in the last days, and they might say, well, now is the appearing, and we're looking for the coming. But they don't know what it means. Now is he appearing, as he promised in the last days, he'd be with us. And what a refuge and what a consolation it is, Christians, that we can stand here right tonight in the very presence of God, in the face of his word, and the impossibilities that he's promised, and the impossibilities that he's promised in here, we can see manifested right before us. Imagine that. You're seeing things people aren't seeing. What a wonderful thing. If it isn't a refuge, if that isn't a haven of rest, I don't know what would be to see Jesus who said, the works that I do shall you do also. Oh, what a promise that is. Now, how many believe that that's the truth? All right, now let us pray. Now, I'm sorry, but if you don't believe Jesus and what he said, you're just an unbeliever. Because Brother Branham said that is for every believer. And if you have his spirit living in you, you have his nature. And from perseverance, he said, did you know that the Bible speaks of the appearing of the Lord and also the coming of the Lord? It's two different words. Search it out and find out if that's the right. Now, how many people in this message have heard those words and haven't searched it out? That's what I'm talking about. There's a lot of lazy Christians out there. That's one thing I love about Brother Peter is because he's always studying the word. You see, you've got to study to show yourself approved. You don't study, you don't show yourself approved. All right? That's what the Bible says. So how many of the people, you can't just come to church once a week, hear a sermon, and say, oh, glory to God, I believe it. It should be part of your daily life. So how many of the people that have heard these words have actually searched the scriptures to see whether it is the truth or not? Well, some might go the lazy way and say, well, I just believe it, that's all. I believe because he said it, that's all. So I'm going on what he said. And you don't see it for yourself. No, they haven't. And at the white throne, they will be labeled as unbelievers. And they will be shown to be willfully ignorant, in which there is no forgiveness of the sin. Why? Because they're lazy. I'm not mad at you. I'm just using that for emphasis, okay? The appearing of the coming is two different words, two different things, excuse me. The appearing of the Lord is now. He's appearing amongst his people. We see him in the same works, the appearing, his Holy Spirit. But his coming will be a physical being. It'll be to catch the church up. But we've been down through the word, justification, sanctification, baptism in the Holy Ghost, and now the church is getting in such a condition, ready and waiting. The offices and the offices of the church is coming into its place. The teachers are placing the places. It's exactly what Brother Vail started doing back even in Brother Bram's day. And the gifts are manifesting themselves. Oh, there's a lot of impersonations. That's right. We expect that, but there's real too. Before there can be a bogus dollar, there has to be a real one to be made of, off of. That's right. We have all these carnal comparisons, but that don't take away from the real. It only makes the real shine out. And I imagine Pentecostals hearing this and say, well, I'm offended because he said there's a bunch of carnal impersonations. Well, there is. Now, in Luke 7:16, it says, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that the great prophet is risen up amongst us, and that God hath visited his people. Alpha has become Omega. So we see that there's a repeat in this hour because he was present in the Alpha. Now, in Luke 19:44, it says, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You realize such a punishment coming to people because they realize not the visitation of the Lord. So the stuff that went on at the Olympics, which is just satanic, is all because they didn't know that God is here. It's like they did in the days of Nimrod, where they can build such a high tower, shoot, and then get on top and shoot an arrow way up, and then say, see, God is so far away, he can't even see you. If God, who created the Milky Way, which is 500 billion miles across, and he sees every particle of dust in that Milky Way, and every planet and every person on that planet, and the Bible says he reads the thoughts and intents of the heart, can you build any tower so high as to say God is elevated and we don't see him? He can't see us? What stupidity that we have for the human race. They might as well be brute beasts, like the Bible says, taken to be destroyed. Again, we see what happened in the Alpha has repeated in the Omega, and the people were not aware of God's presence. So it shows the people are still not aware of his presence as it was back then. Now look at those words. Because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. What consequences will be seen? What destruction will be had? All because the people were not aware of their visitation. Could you imagine if the people universally around the world saw the great gift of God, knew it was God, knew he had visited once again, that God was here? Do you think they'd be acting the way they are, all the politics and all the governments fighting one another? They're so busy fighting one another, they have no time for God. Now, from Satan's Eden, Brother Brown says, there's a disappointment, see? That's deceitfulness. That's where I'm so misunderstood. It's not that I want to be different. I don't want to be different, but I've got to be honest. I have a message, and that must go to the people, that it makes it very much misunderstood amongst the people. Why? Because he was looking into a realm. He could see the very God he's talking about, and the people couldn't see who he's talking about. They think I'm against everybody, and I would like to add, if you're saying what the prophet said, they will think that you are against everybody too, just by saying what he said. I don't care, any one of you say what he said, you're going to be attacked. You'll just be attacked. If they only knew, I'm for everybody and try my best to bring them what's the truth, just as it's laid in my heart, the way that it's laid out in the Bible here. And God proves that it's to be the truth. So there's nothing else can be said or can be done about it. So men either they look at it or they don't look at it. See, they don't want to see it because they've already sold out. Sold their birthright to some organization, some denomination, to tie their birthright to get to heaven upon the basis of some organized religion, which Satan is ahead of every bit of it. That's pretty strong words. Now listen carefully. If you don't believe I am repeating his words and you think that I'm against everybody, it is because, as he said, you have sold out to their system of unbelief. If you think that I have to sit up here and be a milquetoast preacher just because it offends you, I don't care if it offends you. I'm preaching what he said. And now listen, I am saying the same thing that Brother Branham is saying here. But of course, I am not the one who is vindicated. Yet no one is preaching what I preach but a handful of true ministers around the world. But why has God backed up this ministry? I believe it is to prove that I teach the same thing Brother Branham teaches. We teach the resurrection. They teach missionary stuff as if telling the people about others around the world is the same as teaching them about Christ. Oh, I can tell you all about the church down in North Carolina or South Carolina, and that makes you closer to Christ? Give me a break. That's just gossip. That's just talking about another person, another people. That will never feed your soul. If we're not preaching the same message, the same shout, then why did Christ appear in three horizontal rainbows over my meeting? Tell me that. Tell me that. Please tell me that. Why has Christ answered my prayers and stopped storms? Now, I'm not talking about this vessel. I'm saying the ministry God's put me in. Come on, tell me. Why did God change the weather twice by 30 degrees when I asked him to do it, or asked him if he would do it? If you think that I'm off on an ego trip, then tell me why God has backed up this ministry, because then God is backing up an ego trip. And if God backs up an ego trip, and the Bible says if he that exalts himself should be abased, then God is just contrary to his word. Why did he grow two limbs on the stick that I slept over for 6 months? Is that natural that God has only performed that miracle once before in the Bible with Aaron? Why did God grow back a heel that the physicians had cut off, the entire heel? Why would God grow back a man's heel who had it amputated? That is the same creative power we saw in his prophet. Why did the deaf here in Australia in one person who was deaf after praying for another person who was deaf? In other words, that person stepped in between the prayer and got the blessing. Why did God cause it to rain and save the crops in Malawi, Mozambique, and Uganda on many times when we prayed for them? The people had been praying and praying and praying and nothing was happening, but then they asked me if I would pray. I said, let's pray together, and we prayed together and it happened. Why did he wait until they contacted his servant? And at other times, why did he stop the rain so that they could hold their mission work after the ministers contacted me and asked me to pray because they wanted to begin their mission work? They couldn't start. It was just too much rain. Then immediately, 1 hour after, it stopped raining. Why do they want to know about the resurrection which we teach? Why do they not want to know about the resurrection which we teach? The same reason why they avoided Brother Branham. Their organization doesn't teach that. Now, Brother Branham said in his sermon, when the eyes were open, now listen, brother, sister, the promised word to be promised to you, and you can see it's the hour for that. But when God reveals it and interprets it, how does he interpret his word? By bringing it to pass. Then it's sinful to turn it away. So we preach the word that he did. We see the same manifestations of it. So it proves that it is not the vessel, but the same God who is using the vessel. Look, I don't know why God is using me. I am just as much a schmuck as the next guy. But it isn't about me. It isn't about Brother Branham. But it's all about the God who uses me and who used his prophet. It's not about a man. A man, his words would fail. But it's about the same God who used his prophet has used this vessel. So it is not about the vessel. It is all about the God of the vessel. And I have a wonderful God. And I trust him. Now, Brother Brown continues, don't you never do that. God opened his eyes by showing him the manifested word that he had promised that it would take place. That is us. We see his word fulfilled before us. They cannot see it. That is why we speak about it, and that is what they turn down. Brother Branham, he continues, now always does it the same way. He does it. He never changes his system in doing it. No, sir, never. Always the same. So we see God has a pattern. He always preaches his word in each season, and then when he manifests that word, there are only a certain chosen people of whom receive that manifestation of what was preached for that season. And then God just leaves the others to just continue on without receiving the manifestation of the seed that was sown. So then Brother Branham continues. He promises scripture for every age, or for each and every age. And when he manifests that scripture promise for that age, the people who get their eyes open to see it are the ones who receive it. Did you hear what I said? You see the manifestation of the word happening? It's because you're receiving the word. So we are indeed a blessed people to be able to see and understand what God has shown us in his word, that not only we were able to see it in its seed form, but we were able to receive the manifestation of what we saw. Does that make us any better than the rest? Well, no, it doesn't. Now listen. No one else posts their PDFs online for you to read. What if I'm wrong? What if I am wrong? Won't others know it? And if wrong, won't others know it the minute it's posted online? But why do I not have anyone disputing it as if it is wrong? Because I'm saying what the prophet said. I'm saying what the scripture said. How can they dispute that? Other ministers have their videos online, but you have to register your name to even view them. And others you have to listen to an hour and a half to see if they are preaching wrong. But will they post their sermons online in PDF for you to instantly view? Now, they can quote Brother Branham, but they don't dare quote him. You understand the difference? And all they do is teach a further Pentecostal message but deny that this message is a million miles beyond Pentecost, as the prophet of God stated. I've never been invited by these preachers because of their organizational mentality. They love their caste system more than they love the truth. Now, I don't say they have to invite me, nor even hear me, because I'm not vindicated. But yet God has backed up my ministry with signs and wonders, so I would think that they would at least be a little curious. So they wouldn't even hear God's prophet who preached for 33 years. Then they would not hear his teacher whom he mentored. And now they won't hear someone that was mentored by him for 33 years. But the Apostle John said in 1 John 4:6, we are of God. He that knoweth God hears us. He that is not of God hears us not. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And we know that God calls you. He will back you up with signs and wonders. So we're going to pick up now again at Satan's Eden 42, where God's prophet further states, God never did have an organized religion, never did. And they sell out to that. You could take the scripture. It says, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you could ask a five-year-old child, now, how many people are involved there? And they say, well, there's two, one who's God and one who is the Lord Jesus Christ. But you would ask them, and they say, well, there's just one speaking to himself or about himself. You know what? They sold out to their creed. And you know what shows? They have no revelation. And they sell out to that. Where a bunch of men interpret the word and say it means this and means that. God needs no interpreter. He does his own interpreting. He doesn't need anyone else to tell him how to do it. He's sovereign. He said how he would do it. And that's the way he must keep his word. When he said these signs shall follow them that believe, he meant just that. So not only is God sovereign, as we have preached on, but he's also quoted scripture as these signs will follow them that believe. And so we ask the question, where is it at? We see them running around the church, all jumping up and down. We're going to make the wall fall now. Well, that was to Jericho 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. That wasn't for the Pentecostal church to get up and act like a bunch of undisciplined people. But they do it anyway because the preacher says, come on, everybody, do it. So let's just follow the preacher. From Christ is the mystery, he said, they said, we receive the Holy Ghost when we believe. The Bible said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? There's a difference, see? That's right. See, and they say, well, we're the Catholic Church. We started early. We did this. The Methodists say, well, we are based upon the Bible. But Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, where is it at? See, right. The works that I do shall you do also, every creature, every person that believes in him. Now, where is it at? Oh, but Brother Branham did it. We don't have to do it, so we're riding in on his coattails. God don't have grandchildren. You grandchildren, hear that? You better have the same revelation as your parents do. Because God don't have grandchildren. And he said, where is it at? That's his word. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word shall never fail. Now, where is it at? See? Oh, it's just shows. What is it? It's a hybrid condition. Notice again, he says, every person, and after he mentions John 14:12, he then asks the question, where is it at? It is supposed to be in the church, so where is it at? Therefore, it is supposed to be in the church, so where is it at? Where is it at in the message today? Come on. And what has prevented it from manifesting openly as he longed to see it? Now listen, Brother Brown said, if God sends you, the same God who sends you will go with you. Then why is he with this ministry backing it up with signs and wonders and not in theirs? Now, if they can show me where God has done the same stuff, I'll say, glory to God, he's right with his servants. Because their organization sends them with their creeds, and they are backed up by their organization. From Satan's Eden, Brother Branham, again, paragraph 43, whatever he said would take place, he said would happen in these last days, that he would do certain things, and he done it. He has to ask nobody whether it's time or not. He knows what time it is and what the plan is. Now, Satan, this deceiver, has spoken of in Matthew 24:24, with so much deceit. Now, we find that by his gospel program of knowledge, better education, higher ethics, civilization, and so forth, has bewitched the people that want to serve God into believing his lie. Eve did not want to do that, but he showed her how it was more wisdom in it. And what did he tell us earlier in the same message that the great deceit was? He said they point the people to the church organization instead of pointing them to Christ. And that is why they hate this ministry as much as they hated William Branham and they hated Lee Vail before me. She didn't know. She wanted to know. She didn't understand, but he wanted to understand. And God told her not to try to understand. How can I understand any of these things? I cannot understand them. I believe them. I don't have to understand them. God is faith and not understanding. We just believe what he said. Now notice the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And we know that faith is a revelation, something that has been revealed. And we know that hope is an earnest expectation, something that we earnestly expect. And so we see the progression of how we truly have a divine revelation. Then that revelation, if it is living in us, must produce an earnest expectation. And any earnest expectation will produce an action. And when a young man gets a revelation of a girl he wants to marry, if it is a true revelation, he will earnestly expect her to marry him. and that earnest expectation begins to build up an energy within him, which sets the revelation into motion towards manifestation. So he asks you to, he starts showering gifts on you. He asks you out. He pays for the dinner. If a young man invites you out and he says, let's go Dutch, that man is not for you. There's no revelation there. He's just hoping, but he's not earnestly expecting. He has no revelation. In other words, if he has a true revelation that she's to be his wife, that revelation builds up an energy within him, and he earnestly expects this union to manifest, and thus he begins to court her, buying her flowers and things that he thinks would make her happy. So we see that faith, which is a revelation, leads to an earnest expectation, which leads to love, which is called in Scripture charity, because love is always manifested in giving. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave. Gave what? His only begotten. And Brother Branham told us that love will always manifest itself. He said, if you have God's love, you will express it. Always, love is expressed. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:4 that love will express and manifest itself in various ways. As he said, love is patient. Are you patient? Love is kind. Are you kind, or are your words kind of bitter? Are your words kind of negative? Are your words kind of destructive? And love does not envy. And love does not boast. And love is not proud. Nor is love rude. I think it's rude for you to call a husband turkey, like I've seen some women do. And love is not self-seeking. And love is not easily angered. Well, if love is not self-seeking, then why isn't the person open to the other person? They want it their way, but they don't give a hoot about what he wants his way. Boy, that's a good one. And love keeps no record of wrongs. And that is another one to take a note of. And love does not delight in evil, but love rejoices in truth. Love is always protective. Love always trusts. Love always hopes. Love always preserves, and love never fails. So with that in mind, I would like to read you from Brother Branham's sermon, Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed, and we will read paragraph 302, where Brother Branham said, now I'm going to give you a little secret till I meet you again. Now remember this, as we stand, remember this. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of Kings King of Kings in heaven will crown him, when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh, how sweet. The hope of, what's the threefold revelation? Hope, joy, and the heaven revealed him in. Precious name, oh, precious name. Oh, how sweet. Hope of joy, earth and joy. What? The hope of earth and joy. Everything is manifested in Christ. God, the church, everything else is manifested in Christ. The Bible is Christ. The Bible is written word, which he is the word. Its manifestation is the evidence of the life coming into the flesh of the word to manifest itself. Do you hear what I said? Its manifestation, what? The word, the Bible, is the evidence of the life from that word coming into your flesh, the flesh of the word, to manifest itself. So there are two thoughts I would like to focus on here. Everything is manifest in Christ. And its manifestation is the evidence of the life coming into the flesh of the word to manifest itself. Now, from his sermon, Without Money, Without Price, Brother Branham said, after the taking away of the Holy Spirit out of the earth, now that concerns us all, that the formal church religion will go right on, not knowing the difference. Notice, not even knowing the difference. They don't know the Holy Spirit, so they won't know it when it's gone. And they'll just be going right on just the same. When the last one is sealed into the body of Christ, they'll still be going on trying to bring converts to it because they don't know what it is. They'll be so far away just in religious rituals until they will miss the Holy Spirit because they don't know what it is to begin with. Now, it is all coming down to this. If they do not know him, then how can they know him even as he is known? A groom does not make love to himself and say that he knew his wife. It takes two to know. For Mary herself said, how can I be without child, having known no man? And so I believe that this knowing, which is a Greek word, gnosko, not only speaks of a mental and rational sort of behavior, but speaks also of a relationship which becomes established through the intimate knowledge of sharing in something. And this intimate knowledge, which he has shared with his bride, is himself, for he is the Word. And as we read of Jesus' prayer in John 17, 21, 22, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they all may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory, the dokes of the opinion, value, judgment, which thou gavest me in order for me to become one with you, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. So we see how he becomes one with Christ, with God in Christ, by being with God's Word. Yet this becoming one with God's Word, his Word does not come through some mental prowess, as though we studied ourselves into this oneness. It does not mean that we can enter into this oneness by some mental gymnastics or education, as though it is something we have power to do. No, this oneness is based on the two becoming one in a spiritual union. Just as a man and wife become one in a uniting of their flesh, their aspirations, their goals, and the sharing of their life. In 2 Timothy 3 and 7, we read that there will be many who will never come to the knowledge of this oneness, although they might try. The scripture tells us that men will be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now notice, never able to come to this knowledge. Now Matthew 24, verse 38 to 39 says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So those who are not ready, who are not waiting and are not watching, they will not know until the flood comes. That's like those people who were down by the beach when the earthquake came in Indonesia back in 2011. They saw the water go out, and right then they should have headed for the hills. And they just stood there watching and probably saying something like, what's that? Oh, what's that? What's up? What's that? And then by the time the waters begin to come in as a tsunami, it was too late to get to higher ground. So they just stood there and watched as that 30-foot wave come in and washed them out to sea. Therefore, the Bible says, because they do not know the day of their visitation, or of his visitation, therefore the only thing that remains for them is destruction, as we see in the book of Matthew. In Matthew 24, 45, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household and giveth them meat in due season? That's the message we have on tape. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. Doing what? Doing what you hear on the message. Verily I say unto you, he that shall make him ruler over all his goods, but if that evil servant saith in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite the fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunken, look at the attitude of those who think the Lord's coming is not imminent. They get not only lax, but they get puffed up. They begin to call people names and just, you know, they get mad if it doesn't go their way, and they don't realize God's watching everything you're doing. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and point him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? They weren't aware. Now, the word aware, that has a difference between those who go into destruction and those who are saved from the wrath of God, and was translated from the Greek word genosko, and it means to have a knowledge based on an intimate relationship. They were just churchgoers. They just came to church, you know, but they didn't hear, and they didn't recognize, and they didn't enter in or act upon what they heard. Therefore, they miss it because they are not aware. Just like Brother Bram said, because they don't know him, they won't know him when he leaves the earth. Now, John 8:37 says, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Doesn't that sound like Deuteronomy 28:15-64? Because you don't hearken to the word, all these evil things are going to come upon you and destroy you. It says, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. The answer said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Well, if you are God's children, you do the works of God. It's a nature. But now you seek to kill me, a man that told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, we be not born of fornication. We are not serpent seed. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot, that's a strong word, you cannot understand my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God understandeth God's words. You therefore understand them not, because you are not of God. And he's not talking about a mental cognition here. He's talking about an intimate relationship with the Father, which brings understanding and manifestation to the word of God. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, I know that I spoke very strong today, but I want the people to understand. We're not playing games. You either are in touch with God, have an intimate love affair with him, or you're just about your daily duties of making food and making this and making that. And just like the Bible says, they ate, they drank, they married, they gave in marriage, and they just went on and on and on, and they didn't realize the day of their visitation. Help us not to be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.